Turn in your Bibles to Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Good to see each and every one of you here today. Message today is Things That Disease Cannot Touch, is the title of the message. Things disease cannot touch. But I'll begin with things that the disease does touch. Heavenly Father, yes, Jesus. I need your help today. Help me to share this in a very clear, simple way that we can all gather what we need to gather from it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Cancer leaves everyone with a story. I start with one, a pastor whose aunt's name was Millie. She was full of life and laughter. We spent every Christmas Eve at Millie's house. We laugh about the trip to Israel and Egypt. She was a big hit among the Egyptian men who had not seen many blondes. In the mid-70s, she discovered breast cancer. 3 years later, it was in her bones. And she'd fought courageously. And God gave her 6 more years. My mother gave watch and care for her, including lots of trips to the doctor. The pastor goes on to say, when I proposed to Michelle, his fiance, Millie said that it was a good thing I did, because otherwise my dad would have had to adopt her. She passed in the spring of 83. She was 54 years old, just a couple months before Michelle and this pastor got married. The story we have before us today is about a sick lady. If you found it in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, I'll kind of paraphrase. A large crowd had followed and pressed around him. And this lady was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. I'll pause there for a moment, because I remember we had a situation in our church. Many years ago, before we had built this section, we were in the older part, which is now classrooms. And I remember when Elsie came and stood right over there, about where those camper, those backpacks are. She stood there. It was a Sunday morning. She came to stand for her daughter who had been bleeding. She was menstruating. And she had it stopped. She was so weak, she fell over. Doctors didn't know what to do. But the great physician knew what to do. And she came forward that Sunday, anointed and prayed like we do. And that Sunday evening, I asked if there was testimonies. And when she stood, I about fainted. Because Elsie don't say anything. She's quiet. But she had something to say Sunday evening. I'll never forget it. She said, I came up this morning to be anointed for my daughter. In the very hour that I was anointed, her bleeding stopped. Because when I got home from church, she called me. And I said, well, when did your bleeding stop? And she said, when it was. And it was the exact time when I came up to be anointed, and I just want to thank the Lord. Never forget it. This lady had suffered a great deal for many years. 12. She was in the care of many doctors. She had spent all she had. And instead of getting better, she got worse. She heard about Jesus, and she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I could just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. If you're following your Bible, verse 29, immediately her bleeding stopped. She felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Verse 30, at once Jesus realized power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and he asked, who touched my clothing? In verse 31, the people had crowded against him. The disciples said, and you ask, who touched you? You know, I believe Jesus really did know who touched him. He was looking for a response from that woman. He wanted a response from her. As Jesus kept looking around to see, the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear. And she spoke to him the whole truth about her life, of what was going on in her life. And he said, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Be freed from your suffering. I don't know if her condition was the result of cancer. They didn't keep medical records back then. We know there's probably a lot of people that have died of cancer that there's no records of. They didn't know what it was. They didn't know how to diagnose it. There's many types of cancer. I know that there's a lot of cancer that's related to the reproductive system. It's possible that this is something that this lady had endured for 12 years. If you're here today, maybe you have yourself experienced cancer. If you haven't, you probably know somebody in your family that has. Disease can touch your time. And the woman who was there had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. 12 years. You see, most health issues that we deal with are more on a short basis. A cold lasts a few days. A flu, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks. Injuries that we sustain, maybe a couple months to rehab. But those who deal with cancer, for them it's a grinding marathon. Every morning, every evening, for days, for weeks, for months, for years. Every time there's a new pain in your body, you think, did it come back? Outpatient treatment, inpatient treatment, surgeries, recoveries, etc. Those of you who have been to the clinic to get the treatments, you pass those who are wearing a cap. Those who've lost their hair. You see all ages. Disease can touch your status. The woman that was there was subject to bleeding for 12 years. Do you know that her condition meant that she was religiously unclean, and anyone who touched her would be considered to be unclean as well? Her condition meant that she could not bear children. She lost a lot of her status and respect with women in that society. Some things shouldn't be, but sometimes cancer brings a stigma. It's a physical toll of chemo and radiation. Maybe it's the appearance of cancer itself. There are some patients feel as if the folks treat them a little differently, as though their condition is contagious. And extraordinarily sad are those who say that your cancer is a result of some kind of sin in your life, which you're being punished, which couldn't be further from the truth. Or if you just had enough faith, God would heal you. That's not the case either. Disease can touch your finances. She suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had and wasn't any better. In fact, her condition grew worse. I'm sure that the doctors in that day did the most they could. They did the best they could with what they could understand. Medical treatments are expensive. And even if you have good insurance, there's a lot of out-of-pocket expenses that can be formidable. Disease can touch your strength. And those of you know well that faces disease, sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. The effects of chemo and radiation can at times seem worse than the disease itself. And sometimes you'll wonder, should I go through it? Some say no. How do you know? Related story, we had a prisoner that came to our church when we were in the building behind. Her name was Harriet Beeslein. She was a twin sister of the Harvey, Demi. You remember? When we would have anointing service, usually always takes a little time for people to make their way out of the pew to come up and stand. But I remember that it only took Harriet the time from her seat to the pew to hear. And by the time she arrived here, there was people all over the church getting up and coming. They probably thought if she could come up and stand with her cap and lean against her husband because she was weak, she couldn't hardly stand. People sprang out of their seats when she came. On one of my visits to the Harrisburg Hospital, in the evening, close to the hours of visiting time to be over, I said to Harriet, I said, would you like to invite Jesus to live in your heart, to come and live in your heart? She said, yes, I would. I said, well, then you pray this prayer with me. And I prayed the prayer with her. And then the next evening, I went down to see her. She said, Pastor, I have a question. I said, what is it, Harriet? She hesitated a little bit. She said, well, do you think it took? What do you mean, Harriet? What took? You know, last night when we prayed. I said, well, why would you ask that? Well, she said, you know I'm on strong medicine and sometimes I'm just not with it. I laughed and then I cried. Cancer can do a lot of terrible things to us. But I can tell you, those of you who are going through it are heroic. You've never would have chose that battle, but you face it every day. It's the greatest physical challenge, and it stands above all other physical, financial, and emotional situations in your life. More than climbing a high mountain or running a long marathon, those who face it head on experience their greatest hour. But that's all it can do. A fellow by the name of Jim Valvano in 1992 was diagnosed with bone cancer. Here's what he had to say. Cancer can take away all my physical abilities, but it can't touch my mind. It can't touch my heart. And it can't touch my soul. And these three things are going to carry on forever. Disease cannot touch your faith. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. If I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. And remember that Jesus affirmed that it was her faith that made her well. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 and 6. And I can tell you that sickness is not due to a lack of faith, any more than great faith would heal you. But it takes great faith to move forward in the grind. You'd never wish this illness on anyone. But it's often during this battle that our strength increases. Disease cannot touch love. One of the products of cancer is the love of relationships. Those of you who have been involved with this know exactly what I'm talking about. Because now you spend as much wonderful time as you can with your mate. Because you don't know how much time you got left. It helps you to put things in priority. Helping hurting people brings out the best in all of us. It shakes up our priorities. It reminds us that the greatest things in life are not things at all. It's relationships. In C.S. Lewis's illness, him and his spouse discovered their love for each other. I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither present, anything present or future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation would be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, 38 and 39. Disease cannot touch eternity. You know the lady in our story today in Mark chapter 6, she eventually died of something. We don't know what it was, but she did eventually die. We can cheat death sometimes for a season. Hebrews 9:27 says man's appointed to die. There's only one way to beat death, and that's through Jesus Christ. You see, cancer can't kill me because I'm going to live forever. It can't follow me some places. It can't follow me to heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power of that enables him to bring everything under his control. And will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Do you know that Jesus kept his scars with him in his resurrected body? When he got his new body, he still had his old scars. I'm sure they serve a purpose to remind us what it cost him. Our eternal life, what it cost Jesus. A pastor shares the story of a professional golfer by the name of Paul Zinger. Paul was diagnosed with cancer at 33. He had won a PGA championship. He had 10 tournament victories to his credit. And Paul wrote this: "A genuine feeling of fear came over me that I could die from cancer. Then another reality hit me even harder. I'm going to die eventually anyway, whether from cancer or something else. It's just a question of when. Everything I had accomplished in golf became meaningless to me because all I wanted to do was live." And then he remembered something that Larry Moody, who had taught a Bible study on the tour, had said to him: "Zinger, we're not in the land of the living going to the land of the dying, but we are in the land of the dying trying to get to the land of the living." And that's so true. When golfer Paul recovered from chemotherapy and returned to the PGA Tour, he's done pretty well. But the bout with cancer deepened his perspective. And he wrote this: "I've made a lot of money since I've been on the tour. I've won a lot of tournaments. But the happiness is always temporary. The only way you'll ever have true contentment is in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that nothing ever bothers me and that I don't have problems. But I have found the answer to that 6-foot hole." Golfers are used to playing with holes. But he said, "I found the answer to the 6-foot hole." I thought that was great. The chorus in Christ Alone ends with these words: "No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From a life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man could ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns and he calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. Best counsel I can give you in life and in death, in sickness and in health, on good days and difficult ones, when all is well in your world and when all is falling apart. Do what this lady did. Reach out and touch Jesus and be healed." Tony Campolo. How many of you have heard that name? I've heard of it. Was he a youth leader? Had a lot to do. That's what I thought. Tony tells of a story about being in a church in Oregon where he was asked to pray for a man who had cancer. Tony prayed boldly for this man's healing. That next week, he got a telephone call from the man's wife, and she said, "You prayed for my husband. He had cancer." Tony thought, when he heard her use the past tense verb, that his cancer had been eradicated. But before he could think much about it, she said, "He died." Tony felt terrible. But she continued. She said, "Tony, don't feel bad. When he came into that church that Sunday," she's speaking about her husband, "he was filled with anger. He knew he was going to be dead in a short period of time, and he hated God. He was 58 years old, and he wanted to see his children and grandchildren grow up. He was angry that this all-powerful God didn't take away his sickness and heal him. He would lie in bed and he'd curse God. And the more anger grew towards God, the more miserable he became. And he was miserable to everybody around him. It was an awful thing to be in his presence. But the lady told Tony, after you prayed for him, a peace swept over him and joy had come into him. Tony, the last 3 days have been the best days of our lives. We've sung together. We've laughed together. We've read scriptures together. We've prayed together. And they have been absolutely the most wonderful days of our life. And I called to thank you for laying your hands on him and for praying for him for healing. And then she said something incredibly profound. She said he wasn't cured, but he was healed. Whew. Did you get it? You can reach out to him today, and you can be healed. Maybe not cured, but healed.